Welcome to the Sign Radio Show. In this episode, we're joined by D-Fox to talk about revision online and party organizing in general, as well as discuss feedback and reactions since we relaunched the podcast. Enjoy.
Right, and we're back with the Sign Radio Show number 9. Never forget that we're nearly at the 10th episode, even there was a break for more than 10 years.
Oh, it's on my second.
Ziphoid, actually, I'm here with Axel.
Hello.
The host from back in the day, and with Ziphoid, our new co-host, for the second episode of the reboot of the Sign Radio Show, which is fun. I'm very happy. And I'm Aki, of course. Sorry, I'm Aki. But yeah, people should know, because that sounds very arrogant. Let's not go there. So this is the second show that we're doing after our reboot. I think it was really fun to do a show again, and we had I think it was a good lounge. Did you guys enjoy being out there again? And for Ziphoid, it was the first time, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, this is his first time I'm actually doing a podcast. I've been doing a lot of broadcasting and not prepared recordings and stuff, and it definitely is a different thing and different experience, which I really, really enjoy.
Yeah, it was a good fun to be doing this again. And it also is a lot of help that the other guys help us prepare our things. So we have some topics that's more structured than we had in the old days, right? Okay, so
let's give a shout out to Gargoy and Gloom helping us out behind the scene as producer and editor. Like, without them, it wouldn't sound this professional.
They're basically leading us by the hand and just, here, do this.
We're just here to sit and look pretty, as we always do.
Yes.
For the people, we can actually see each other during the recording, and I can tell you, we don't look pretty. We look like we're in lockdown. Some reactions to the launch. Like, we have a little bit of stats that we've gathered. Some stats that we had 170 estimated listeners on the first go. So I think it's pretty good for a show that had been gone for so long.
Yeah. Do you have anything to compare with the old days, by the way? Is there any possibility to see that stats?
We have download numbers maybe on Bitfella, so we can see how much it was downloaded. It was a download, right?
Download only, yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea how many people listen to that.
Did Bitfella have a radio show where it was broadcasted, or did we do something? Or we were on SceneSat maybe for an episode or two?
For the last episode, yes. That was actually on SceneSat as well. So that's good.
But yeah, and also, so there was now podcasts are like a day of our life, especially in lockdown, and we have nothing to listen to. So we have 170 listeners. It's nice. And thank you for listening again if you're back with us. If you're new, don't listen to the old episodes. They're old. Stay with us for the new ones. As you can see, we're actually determined to do one every month. Listeners from the usual demo scene countries, as you would expect, Western Europe, America, and Australia, and everywhere, but also from Estonia and the Philippines, Saudi Arabia, South Korea and Argentina, so that's nice.
Not too bad. And I would urge people to listen to the old episode as well, because I did, to get into the mood for this podcast, and it was really good. I must say that you brought up quite a bit of interesting, even though it was a lot, my refrigerator is making a noise and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just feel ashamed for the old stuff. I was young and I said things that I can never listen to myself. So,
yeah, actually, if you listen from these nations like Saudi Arabia or South Korea, then drop us an email at signradioshow@scene.org, because we would like to hear from you. How did you find us, or what's your background or anything? Just drop us a note, would be fun.
What's the demo scene like in your country? So, and then it's like for the feedback, how is the podcast? They're like, the podcast is different. We have demo scene shows. Again, we're not trying to be in that pond. I think, indeed, that we feel like as a radio show, we can do some more in-depth chats and just for people to have voices to listen to when they do the dishes.
Yeah, and some interviews. There will be an interview coming up with D-Fox later on this show.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about revision, which is going to be good fun. The website is open for revision to speak about that. Let's move to that topic. So, online 2021, the website is open at 2021.revision-party.net. Go sign up and listen to the interview in a little bit. So yeah, so revision, so we heard more about it. Also, the Meteorex is coming up again. Are you guys looking forward to that?
Yes, I've followed the nomination and jury work because I'm part of it, because I'm doing voiceover and stuff and like that. And I think it's going to be a good year for Meteorix as well.
An interesting year of releases.
Yes.
And I believe Axel doesn't really know what the Meteorix are, he told me.
No, not that much, really, to be honest. After Breakpoint and Scene.org Awards, I was kind of left out of the loop on this. I didn't follow up on this, but I did watch actually some of the Meteorix in the past, but not for the last couple of years.
Yeah, so it's, you can see it as a spiritual successor to the Scene.org Awards by different people with a different, like it's still an award show, but with a different vibe than the Scene.org Awards had.
I think it's good that they keep going with an award show because it was, I remember in the old days with the Scene.org Awards, there was always a discussion, does a scene really need something like this or and all that buzz around that. I think it's actually good to have something like this, even though it, I mean, it's with every award show, right? No matter if TV or Oscars or whatever, it's always the same discussion. Well, it actually needs something like this, but I think it's a nice way of celebrating 1 year of releases.
And also doing it this way with nominees and juries taking this place, I think it's less of the problem with open voting things like, hey, ratings on Poet, for instance, or charts in every other word, because then you can rally your fans like, hey, vote for me, vote for me. It's not really the same thing here. And I do think there's a place for this, for sure, especially, the whole demo scene is very competitive. And this is competition in a good way, and that can trigger people to do better the next time as well.
And it's also, I think, as you're right, Axel, that every award show, annual award show, is kind of unnecessary. But what I like is that it also points you to productions you might have missed and highlights on productions that might have slipped through the cracks. So it's a nice annual like look back on the year as well. I'm like, oh yeah, we had a nice year. There was a good bunch of good 64Ks. Or like, there was really good soundtracks in all these demos. And the categories are, there's still the new talents. They're kind of like, hey, who came up in this year? And so yeah, so I'm looking forward to see 2020 was a weird year to show what it brought the demo scene in that aspect. So yeah, looking forward to that. And then some demo scene news. DemoParty.net has been released. I don't know if you guys ever used it.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have. And it has been a really good place to go to see, okay, so what's coming up? Even though there are the same things kind of on DemoZoo and Poet and everything like that, but there you have everything in one place, which is really good.
I think it's nice. It's colorful and very uplifting, actually, from what it looks like. So it's, I think it's easy to navigate, yeah.
It actually does what it says it should do as well. Just bring a list and map of parties coming up and everything like that.
Yeah, I say like indeed, the website is literally called A List of Demo Parties. It's demoparty.net and you can see everything that's coming up. So I'll quickly check what's coming up now for the coming month. Assembly Winter, and there is a shadow party called Assembly Winter 2021, the 5th, the 7th of March. And Assembly Winter is the 8th, 28th of March, and don't get mistaken that Assembly Winter is only a gamer event. There's definitely demo scene involvement. They'll both be online. And we have Lovebite coming up, which is a new demo party focused on size coding, a online demo party that will have tiny competitions, tiny intros, tiny demos, tiny music, tiny graphics. I think 16 by 16 graphics is something like really size coded limits, all organized online. And they have an award show coming up as well that you can check out on their website. You can vote for the best tiny production of 2020. Everything is tiny. It's a tiny award show.
Are you involved in that in any way?
I'm just giving them a shout out. It's a new competition. I know the people that organize it. It's the size coding community. It's gotten really big and really solid, especially in the last year as well. And it's fun. I like that they're starting a new party, which is like focused on the size coding. Like back in the day, a few revisions ago, there was no 256-byte intro competition, so a bunch of the size coders flooded the Wild Compo, and I think there were like 17 256-byte and 128-byte intros in the Wild Compo to demand their own compo, and then Revision started doing that. So it's kind of becoming a bigger part of the demo scene. So I'm looking forward to see like a tiny party for tiny productions, and tiny things are always cute, so it's going to be a very cute party. Okay, I think that's my sales pitch for Lovebite Demo Party.
We bought it.
I was a bit confused here. Assembly Winter is a 3-week party online. That must be the gamer bit.
It's 3 weekends.
Well, yeah, it's 8th until 28th And March is like, okay.
I think it's every weekend they have different competitions. And no, it's fun. And they have, I think they do a lot of like one scenes and yeah, music competitions. So do participate. There's still assembly. People think it's a big gamer party, and it is, but it's also a fantastic demo party. So there's that for the news. Is there more news I forgot to like mention that you guys want to talk about?
No, I haven't been that following the scene actually that much over the last few weeks actually. But
didn't we tell you, Axel?
Yeah, actually, I did do my homework that you gave me. So I followed up on some productions, and I actually also watched the Invaders by Void. So that was one of the demos that I wanted to check out, and that was actually pretty nice. So
good. Yeah, we'll get you back.
Yeah. I'm doing my work.
Okay, so then there's a topic that we briefly want to touch on in this episode, and we'll touch on more in the next episode, is the Demo Scene Ethics website that launched.
Yeah, it made quite a buzz on Poet, for sure.
It did?
It is a kind of a splitting project, to be honest. I think there are a lot of people who have a lot of opinions on it, and possibly what can be said is that it might have not been approached in the best way initially, but the discussions were long and quite thorough on Poet.
Well, people took it seriously. I think you're right that it's always hard to start a topic about a heavy subject like this, like something that is difficult to talk about. It was a good start, I think, to start a discussion. And I think a lot of people felt that it was an attack. I'm not sure if that's true.
No, but also, I mean, looking at it from our point of view, looking at us now, sitting here now, three middle-aged, white, privileged men who probably haven't been touched by any of the subjects that are arisen by this.
Nope.
Because, well, I'm not one of these minorities, so it's not that easy to put myself into the mindset of what's going on there, because I need to hear what has happened or how people have been treated to actually get an opinion. Because, yes, I have my opinion, and that is that, well, the demo scene can definitely be elitist and was more elitist in the younger days and more open and obvious about these kind of discriminations and things like that. I haven't seen it as much lately, but that might be because I'm the privileged one in that sense.
Yeah, you might not bump into it, I think. Axel, what is your take on this?
Actually, my honest first reaction was when I was reading this, I was like, damn, is this the last? This is like one of the last resources where pretty much an anarchy exists or whatever. It's like one of the scene that is unregulated. And I'm working at a company that has 5-page disclaimers at every, I don't know, presentation. And this felt like this was the first time, or is it really necessary to regulate this kind of community as well as much as it sounded in the first take that I was reading there. I hope it's not, and I think it probably also isn't in such a strong regulation or like, I don't know what you call it, like a code of conduct or something. I thought it was pretty much the scene regulated itself most of the time, and I always felt like I was, like if you do a production, I've never seen any production by someone who's having a debut demo or something being booed at a party. I've never seen that happen. So I thought always the new talents were like welcomed in the scene, and people talk to them, and you could get your knowledge from anyone in the scene. I thought it was pretty open so far. So I was a bit
surprised. And I think you're not wrong. Yeah, and I think you're not wrong. I think your reaction is, a lot of people had that reaction of like, oh my God, this is the censor police. And I think that's understandable, but I don't have the feeling that's happening. I don't have the feeling, people started calling it a code of conduct, but on the website itself, it never says it's a code of conduct. It says, this is what we feel, what some people have bumped into that are behind this, and we would like to draw your attention to. And I think it's a hard discussion to start talking, because either people will, as a first reaction, go like, but what am I doing wrong? I don't have the feeling I'm not doing anything wrong. And that might be absolutely fair, because as Sifoid said, you might not realize this. You said, I always had the feeling, and it was probably, and it is probably for a lot of people like that. But that doesn't mean it is for everybody. And that is, and also, I don't think it means they want to take things away. I think that's a misconception, that they want to change. Because indeed, the absolutely DIY anarchy vibe of the demo scene is, and creative scene is what it is. And I think if anything, we want that more. And I don't have the feeling that this is like, we now have to uphold all these rules. It's like, we have to be considered the people that might not fit in the thing, fit in the mold that we have. There might be even other perceptions that we also should embody in more anarchy in the demo scene. And because there is a thing that we always say, anarchy, but then again, if you do it wrong, like if you make a demo in, I remember that if you would make a demo in a game engine back in the day when it was still called differently, the demo scene was like looking down on it a lot. So there is definitely that vibe of like, oh yeah, but you didn't code your own 3D engine.
Hasn't that always been the, like, I mean, the first start of the demo scene was like about being better than someone else in a on a certain machine and
yeah,
beating those guys in competitions. And that has always been, I mean, it's not like in a personal conversation, like, you know, to act like that, but I think it always has been about this boasting and that part of...
It's part. And I think I think there's a good point that people make is that the elitism back in the day when we were all teenagers and felt... like, oh, you're not like worthy enough to talk to us. I think that is absolutely, you're right. That's no longer the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have the feeling that it's sometimes when you come in as a new person in the demo scene right now, and you see all these people that also clearly, and I've heard this from people that were quite new in the demo scene, that like you walk into Revision and all these people seem to know each other.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, it is somewhat intimidating to then go like, hello, I'm Jeff, and I also make stuff. And it's even though people look like, oh, awesome, come join us, but it's still that hurdle might still feel, and we don't know because we've been in this demo scene for decades.
Yeah, but that's I actually second that. I mean, actually, I agree with that because I felt a little like this as well. Like when you, because you're not, I'm not talking like every day to all the seniors. I'm not meeting them at every party and, you know, and then popping out of nowhere at like once a year at some party, it's a bit hard to connect with each other again, I think. And after you're gone there, you're pretty much forgotten again, or I don't know. So it's, I think it's the friendships, that those are really friends in the scene. They are much closer than if, and if you want to break in from outside, it's a bit, it's not that easy. I actually second that, but.
Now it feels, because I think in the end, it is actually when you, it feels not easy to break into, but then you see like you have a chat with somebody and it's really welcoming. I think that's always the reaction of new people later is like, and then there are still people that have like for views that might be, feel outdated for 2021. And that's a more difficult topic of like how you're used to certain things in your life and that changes and it's hard to keep up. And I think that's next week, I say, like, don't do this podcast weekly, luckily. Next month, we will have Rimina on the show, who is one of the people behind the project, to talk about it more. And they will give their opinion on and their view on what is actually the thing you, indeed, as you say, actually, you might not know, you might not realize. And I think it's really important to actually do listen to that. And the fact that it gives such a strong reaction to people going, but I don't know, I have the feeling I'm doing it right. It's like, yeah, of course. And that feeling is absolutely, I think, in my opinion, because I'm the same. I'm, as you said, we're all three middle-aged white men in good position. So who are we to say this is not true or this is true? So I would like to be educated. And I can't wait for next month to also hear about that, to be educated and let us know. And I think opening a discussion with something like this was a... also impressive, like, there. It's like you have to go like, hey, this is there, and we just kind of want to open up this conversation.
What also is worth mentioning in this case is that the demo scene is not a company, as in the disclaimers that you mentioned, Axel, about, hey, 16 pages long, wherever. So it's not really that easy to applicable as sort of a, well, code of conduct, as we say, because this is a completely non-organized structure. It's a very loose structure when everyone is basically their own little part in this island. And that's the hard part, I think, to try this kind of thing and hope for everyone just to roll with it. So therefore, the approach needs to be a sort of quite humble, as in the sense of, yes, We have that as this as a problem. We would like to put some light on this and actually get some discussion going on in there, but we're not trying to tell you cannot do this, you cannot do that. It's more of an open discussion thing. And I think the first approach was a bit like this is how it needs to be in that sense. But I think during the discussions on Poet, for instance, a lot of this has been taken care of. But it's worth thinking about in the whole of the thing.
It's probably also difficult because you would have to compare it to similar communities, right, with other like topics, I don't know, the art world or music concerts or probably like similar communities of where people have the same interest, right? So I think how do you treat each other in those communities? I think that's probably something that is quite difficult to compare to because it's such a unique scene, basically, I would say.
Absolutely.
Most of the things are pretty much common sense, as I say it, or I feel it, but might be a bit of a different story compared to where you're coming from.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that the demo scene has been, I think also the time pressure changing, the demo scene has always been a male, white male dominated scene. And I think, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, but that gives you a certain insight and outlook on how it's done. And if even as a woman going to a demo party is a completely different experience that we also just will never know. And it's good to hear those stories because indeed, if you think about what happened back in the day, women get in for free and there were strippers at a demo party. I think there's still these things that some of these things are, the time has changed, that would no longer be, because also, yeah, we were young and there was this kind of indeed rowdy anarchist vibe. And I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm saying the times has changed and people have changed and there is there's different people going to demo parties also wanting to enjoy this scene, as you say, Axel, unique scene. There is no really a comparison of like how this comes together. And I think it's good to have these discussions to open this up. And if indeed, like it was maybe a little bit heavy handed and a bit fumbly, but you have to start somewhere. And I think it's a good start.
Yes, for sure. It'll be interesting to discuss this for the next episode.
Absolutely. So yeah, next month, Rimina will be with us to discuss this more and give us insights. And it's something to think about.
Absolutely. Yeah, there must be cases where that popped up, which were probably far beyond what we have imagined in that context, probably.
Before you hear something, it's always difficult, and again it makes people, yeah, it makes you feel threatened, like, but I've never done this, and no, maybe you didn't, and maybe that's cool, and that's so, then it's not about you. And it's always good to learn and to hear more about these things. So yes, I'm looking forward to seeing that, to having that interview next time.
All right,
I think it's time for us to go into our interview. We have D-Fox on the show. He's going to talk all about Revision and Revision Online and everything that happened last year and this year. So stay tuned for the D-Fox interview. So our guest this week is D-Fox. He's one of the lead organizers behind the world's largest demo party, Revision, that everybody knows. And if you don't know it, you should. Which was forced to take a turn and to go online last year with everything that happened, and will be forced to do the same this year as well. So welcome, D-Fox, to our show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And yes, can you tell us a little bit about that, like how you went from, because we were first just organizing a demo party that was supposed to happen in 2020, and then all of a sudden everything changed, the process, maybe a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, it was very interesting times. At the beginning of February, when it was clear that this virus will not be stopped in its tracks, we were in a lot of discussions with the city of Saarbrücken and a lot of discussions with the organizers. And it was for a long time, it wasn't clear if we could do it like in real life as we are supposed to and what we're used to do. And it was kind of demotivating as well. So because we didn't know what we can do or what we can't do. And I think it was like in mid-February when we started to put together some plans. The good thing for Revision was we had proper streaming for a number of years. I started to ask the streaming team what they would think about having a complete online event. And first, I think there was a mixture of excitement and fear in terms of, because it's doing a completely online event is something that we haven't done that this far. And so there was a lot of different things that would need to align for this to happen. Yeah.
Were there plans initially that you had that didn't happen, or did you change a lot during that process in how to put this party up?
There was a lot of discussions on where would we be doing this event. The initial idea was that we could probably meet at the seminar area at the EVAC, because you can rent that part of the hall separately. And we thought about having a skeleton crew of like 15 to 20 organizers there to set up everything. And basically we have a tiny mini demo party production studio kind of thing going on.
That would have been lovely, actually, if I think about that. It would have been very nice.
Yeah, that would have been awesome, because we would still have like a crew on site and being able to have a bit of fun on the side and still concentrate and work together on all the stuff. But I think mid-March it became clear that that's not going to happen as well, because not that they didn't want to rent it to us, but the risk for us was too big, especially shipping and flying in people from, well, basically all over Europe to come there.
The organizing team is quite international.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And we would have to have people from Hungary, from the UK, from Finland, from Sweden, basically from everywhere, assemble there. And that posed too big of a risk for us. What we ended up doing in the end, like the distributed studios, I call them studios because it sounds more fancy.
It's a fancy operation. You can be like fancy about it.
Yeah. And we ended up with a CGI being able to use the studio at his workplace, which is a proper studio with all the streaming equipment you could ever want.
Yeah, because our CGI is in Finland, right?
CGI is in Finland, so the main studio was in Helsinki, back up in the US and in Hamburg, and everything was relayed through Sweden through SceneSet servers. So it was very fun.
It's intense. I want to say, it's the first time I went to big German demo parties. Leave it to the Germans to like set it up super properly.
Yeah. Everything has to have a backup, yeah. The host studio was here in my living room, where I sat down with Dojo and Draugwin. Draugwin is our producer. So she was planning all the events literally down to the second, because we thought if we have a proper streaming event and the schedule is so packed, because there was no way to do anything parallel like we did at the EVAC, where the seminars can run parallel to like a compo or something else, like Shader Showdown. So everything had to be fit into one continuous stream. And that was quite a challenge. So we had to plan it down to, basically the second. So we had cue sheets, which were minute and second pre-planned with this jingle list, 12 and a half seconds, and then cut to the hosts and then cut to the stream directly. That was a huge challenge and a lot of fun.
How much time did you have for that part to come up with this schedule? Because it was more cramped than before.
We put everything together from where the studios would be, what equipment we need, how many people we need in about 3 weeks, I would say. And then we had like 2 days for proper testing. And then we just switched to stream live and let it happen, basically. It was a huge experiment. And
it worked. Like, I mean, in my memory, it was flawless. I mean, there probably were delays. I can't even really remember. Yeah.
I mean, usually the delays as for any demo party are usually because you have an influx of releases or entries that don't run and they have to be fixed and that postpones something. We were very lucky last year that we had little to none, I think, huge delays at least. Well, there's always like the 15 to 30 minute thing that can happen. Especially you cannot control as an organizer how long the combos will run. You can just extrapolate from the data you have from the past years. And especially last year, because we opened up the entry submission to everybody, not just to people on site, because there was no site. So we had a lot of entries to go through, like I think almost double than usual.
Yeah, because of people, everybody could submit, right? You could buy a ticket, you could submit. So.
Exactly, you could submit. We had entries from Chile, from remote parts of the world where we never heard knew the people, and they could never afford to come to revision or didn't have the time. And everybody rejoiced at the opportunity to present something of themselves at our online event. And I think that was enriching the whole experience, because we saw a couple of things that we would never have at revision.
Yeah. So that's the good to go, like the difference between an actual physical revision and an online revision. So entries is definitely, so it's like a lot of work to set up. It's still what we all knew and guessed, but it's good to hear that it's like, it's fun to hear how that process went. But indeed, all the other differences that made it. So, what did you learn from last year to do? Because this year you're going to go online as well. Because there was no way for us to be able to meet for such an international event together.
Exactly.
So what are the things that you've learned from last year that you say we're going to do it differently now? Or
One of the things we definitely learned is that we need more people, because with only one producer and one mainstream person is in CGI, there wasn't much room for relaxing for those people. I mean, obviously, any demo party is a lot of stress for specific individuals because they have a lot of workload and it's not easily shared. But if you're doing it distributed and you actually only have one person there, there's no way for them to be able to really relax. And I remember CGI telling us, okay, I just ordered a pizza and then I have to sleep for 20 minutes and then I have to go on with the next production. And what we'll try to do this year is having more backups, having a second producer, and making some room in the timetable for people to be able to relax, not just the organizers, but also our visitors and viewers, because there was no time to.
Right.
If you want to see everything, you had to be glued to the TV and probably take your iPad to the toilet.
So a bit too much.
Yeah.
A bit too planned.
Would you say it's a risk as well to get too many productions that you have to cram it all in there? Could it be a risk for you guys as well?
It was definitely a risk. But on the other hand, we thought, like, if we're doing a proper streaming event, there's no reason or it's no use having like 2 hours of dead air and just showing slides, because that's not what you do at a streaming event.
Mm.
But like the occasional 15 to 20, 25 minutes of silence and cool down is definitely something that we're going to address this year.
Right.
Oh, so it's good to hear. Is that moment you would go out for a cigarette and a beer, or like not a cigarette, maybe a waffle or like something?
Yeah.
Can you also make sure that we have that you can deliver like the pancakes and all the food from revision to our houses?
Oh, that would be awesome. So we have to do a pre-order. Yeah, maybe the pancakes will arrive a bit cold, but you can heat them up.
I want at least some of the beer, just for that experience.
Actually, from what I hear, there will be probably a beer seminar. Not sure if you know that this is an ongoing series. And one of the ideas is that that it's not just a presentation like last year, but that people will be able to maybe order the beers for consumption at home and being participating in the actual presentation. That's an idea.
Yeah, that's nice.
I hope that Frankie can make that happen, because that will be really cool.
At the time of recording, we're not sure yet, but maybe when this comes out, we'll know. But it will be asked, are there more ideas for more participation?
We will have a new competition.
Ooh.
This will be a 3D artist focused competition where you can present a 3D model of your choice. You have a size limit. And you can just show your modeling skills. It will be presented in a player. You can rotate around it, zoom in and show the different aspects of your model. And this should be a welcome change for all the 3D artists in our community.
Interesting. It's kind of like a sculpting competition.
Could actually reach out to a lot of new audiences with this, right?
That is part of the idea. And generally, 3D artists are, it's not like they're underrepresented in the demo scene, but they're always included in production, like in demos or in animation. But rarely they have the chance to show off like an individual piece of art, like our musicians and our graphicians and the coders with the size coding competitions can.
Is it going to cost us another compo?
No.
You have to cut one out for this? Okay.
No, we don't.
Now, that's very nice to have 3D artists, because I know indeed, like, we have 2D art and photos and everything is represented, but 3D models as a component, it's very cool. And cool to see that Revision is still, like, trying to do new things. Because I remember, I think the 8K, and somebody's going to berate me for this, but I think the 8K competition was Revision first as well, and another party started doing it, yeah.
I think we started it first, yeah.
Yeah. So speaking about, so that's actually a nice bridge to, like, Revision. So we talk about the new stuff, and let's get back to online parties in a bit. But it was the 10th Revision.
It was, yeah.
And let's go back to that first Revision.
Oh, God, that's so long ago.
The first one.
Yeah.
Well, it must have been very interesting following Breakpoint and trying to set up a new Easter party in a tradition. So do you have some interesting tidbits for us that we might
Yeah, I think that was the most intense thing I did in my life up until that point. with the end of Breakpoint. I'm not sure who knows that story, but the Breakpoint organizers got the info that Breakpoint 2010 will be the last one, like in, I think, in mid-December of 2009.
Right.
And the first reaction of mine was like, well, shit, this is it. So we're not going to have a big party anymore. And I was kind of depressed and in a bad mood for a couple of weeks. And interestingly enough, I was invited to a political city event in Saarbrücken because I was doing work for the city. And this event took place in the EVAC on January 7th or something of 2010. And I was there in my suit, talking to politicians, shaking hands, drinking beer, I think. Because it's, you know, Saarland in Germany, you drink beer at these kinds of events. And I looked around the hall and I was like, this is actually a nice hall. And we could do something there. And just for fun, in the next couple of days, I tried to get in contact with the proprietors of the hall and ask for a quote. I fell in a coma after I heard the price range. But yeah, and then I kind of didn't do anything with that information. I just was curious how much would it cost to do something. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any plans.
How much did it cost? Can you tell us? Because that is information nobody knows, I think. People don't realize.
The initial quote is not what we're paying today, because I had to haggle a bit, but it was about 6,000 a day plus the staff, because we have to have staff on location all the time, at least one person
right.
who's responsible for the hall, plus power, plus water, plus everything. So it came around about to, I think, 10K a day.
Because you're renting it for a week or so, right? Or
for Friday to Monday, that's 4 full days we had to pay and 3 days of build-up, which were nicely enough reduced to a half price. So we were looking at just 55K only for the hall.
Right.
An empty hall, yeah.
Yeah, people don't realize this is what it costs, people. This is what your entrance fee goes to.
Yeah, this is what it would usually cost. We got a much better rate after, I think, after we decided to go forward with it. I think I spent months in haggling with them, so we could come down to a reasonable price, which is still a lot, but it was doable. Mm. Yeah,
right.
So yeah, then, first Revision. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, so that was fun. It was. People don't realize how much work that is. That you go like, we'll do an Easter party. It'll be fun. It will have like about 600 people come over. We have to like host them.
Yeah, we're very happy that we had so much from the Breakpoint staff, from the experienced people come over to Revision, which helped a lot with technical planning, with Eckert and Cyrix and the network people, the network Belgians. Without them, I have no idea what's going on. I'm just the guy who is signing the contracts, bringing the people together, but I have actually don't really know what's going on inside the hall, and that's actually. I like that because it empowers the team to do stuff, and that's one of my roles is just helping people doing their jobs.
You're the Hannibal of the Revision organizing. You make the plan come together. This is a reference that younger listeners will not get because the A team is like 40 years old at this point. But so yeah, because for people that might not know, how many people are involved in a real life Revision? How many organizers?
I think 2019 we had about 80 to 85 organizers. I don't know the exact number because it can fluctuate in the last couple of days of the build-up because people get sick, other people volunteer to fill in some gaps. But yeah, it's 80 plus people.
That's the size of certain demo parties, yes, as well. So.
Yes, Yeah, or even bigger, yeah.
And for online, how many, because that was like definitely a smaller operation as we talked about, we had a few people, but how many people did you have involved for the online? Let's give them a shout out as well.
Let me think. It's mostly the compa team, obviously. The compa team is more or less intact. So that's 12 to 15 people. I don't know the exact numbers this year. Frankie is still rallying his troops.
If people want to apply, let me just quickly, where can they go to help Revision out?
Ideally, just write to the hotline. On the website, all the email address is still active. It's hotline-2020@revision-party.net. So if you want to help out, not sure if we need more manpower this year, but it's always good to have your contacts maybe for next year as well.
There you go. If you want to help out Revision,
yeah, just right there. Let me think. I think it will be. It's about 25 people.
You don't have an info desk. You don't have to sell beer, so that's also, that's a bit easier.
That's 25 people less. Yeah, we don't need security.
Yeah.
We don't need a huge network staff. I think usually we have like 8 or 9 people taking care of network at the EVAC. And here we just have 2 or 3 people like managing some file service, infrastructure, website, and that kind of stuff. But it's not a permanent job. But I would say about 25 people are involved with Revision Online, yeah.
It's still a big operation.
It's still a lot of people, yeah.
And if you think like... at one point, we're going back to physical parties, or do you think that the expectations of the audience are that there will always be an online part, or do you think you would keep an online part of the party, like, I don't know, for productions to be sent in or things like that, or would you completely move the party back to a physical setting if it's possible again?
That's a very interesting question, one I've asked myself a couple of times. I like Revision Online a lot. I had a lot of fun last year. I know that it's not the experience everybody had. People are sad that there's no physical interaction. But still, for me, it was also my first time hosting, like complete hosting. And the idea of doing something brand new that has never been done before in the demo scene was very exciting to me. So I had a lot of fun, and I would love to have this concept around longer. But definitely, once we are able to return to the EVAC, we're going to do that. Maybe we will expand entry submissions from outside, but I'm not sure if that is feasible because there might be too many entries. But I'm pretty sure that the streaming team, after those 2 years of experience, they want to expand the quality of their productions, their stream production to Twitch and YouTube. I'm sure there will be a much more enhanced experience that might not be on par with Revision Online, obviously, but we try to integrate it much more. That's at least, that would be my guess. But we haven't talked about next year yet because now we are concentrating on what we have to do in eight weeks. Oh God, 8 weeks, yeah.
This is at the time of recording. So when this comes out, it's even shorter time. But but that's a good question for online, like for Revision, like the online aspect, but for also last year saw an influx in online demo parties, but as in demo parties going online, but also new online events. What's your opinion on those, like as a whole, as like being the organizer of Revision Online, which was probably the first biggest one? Did you go to other online demo parties? Did you participate? And
I watched a couple of streams, yeah. I think I made it a habit at least to watch a couple of hours of each party that was happening, just to show some support, see what they're doing, see if there's something we can steal to improve, you know.
Did you see good ideas that you were like, oh shit, I wish we had thought of that?
I can't remember. It's too long ago. And it was so many parties, yeah. But there might.
I'm going to throw out the shader royale that PS thought of like having 12 shader coders, and every 5 minutes one has to leave. That was fantastic.
Oh,
like people were getting very creative.
Yeah, I remember that. That is crazy. Yeah,
battle royale.
To Havoc if he wants to do that.
Oh God, he will get mad at you.
Probably, very probably. Sorry, Havoc.
But did you enjoy? Did you enjoy the online participation? How did you feel about that?
I liked the participation. I liked watching the stream. I think there was one or two events where they asked me to say a couple of words, which is always awkward for me. But I think it functioned. That happened. But it's also fun to interact with actual people, even if you can't be physically there.
Yeah.
I think the most important aspect of what was happening last year is that the demo scene keeps on going, because we cannot afford to have like 2 years of nothing. Some people are in fear that this will be the end of the demo scene as we know it. I don't think that will be. I think after all of this is hopefully over next year, people will be very happy to return to physical parties. And I think we might even look at, I wouldn't say like higher numbers, because people might still be restricted or like fearful of the virus. But I'm sure there will be a very, very, very happy events in our future that we can all take part in, and maybe hug or high five or like.
I hope so. I miss hugging all of you. As I say every time I'm on a microphone, is that I miss you all.
Yeah.
Do you think there is a future for online demo parties, either when it gets better and we have international demo parties? Do you think that will stay?
I'm sure they will stay. I mean, it's a great concept. It is comparatively easy to do if you have a couple of things like hardware and technical things. Streaming got so much cheaper in the last couple of years, so it is not a problem for like 1, 2, 3 people to throw together something. And I think we've seen that happen. I think there was a very valiant effort by just one individual. Might not have been perfect, but you see you can do this with very, very little amount of people.
Yeah.
And I think that will be a concept that will stay with us for a long time. And I hope that there won't be like switchovers from like established physical parties to go online only. Mm-hmm. But maybe to augment the experience. I mean, in my brain, I'm like, after Revision last year, I was so excited about the concept. I was like, okay, what if we do like Revision at Easter and Revision Winter online at Christmas? And I was immediately shut down by everybody who heard me say that because they were like, are you insane?
Yeah. Do you remember how much work that was?
Yeah, exactly. But
there were some, actually, after talking about online, so we said like it was a smaller group, but what were some of the challenges you still had, like that you didn't, like unexpected challenges maybe you had doing an online party instead of real life one?
A lot of challenge was the entry recording, because usually we show stuff live at Revision, not all of it, but all of the PC stuff and graphics we show live, and everything last year and this year will be pre-recorded, especially because we have this tight timetable. We cannot afford a PC to crash in the middle of the combo and then reboot it. It will mess up our schedule. And so everything has to be pre-recorded. That was a whole different challenge for the combo team, because they didn't just have to screen the entries and sort them, but also have to do a proper 1080p recording that is as lossless as possible. And it has to be, we have to transfer hundreds of gigabytes of data to the streaming headquarters so we can stream them there.
Yeah, that must have been a challenge. How did you get that data there on time?
Luckily enough, most of our studios had a proper internet connection, or people went to their employers' offices to use the fast internet lines to get stuff there. But we also had problems like... I think the first tries of old school recording resulted in like 50 gigabytes big files for each entry. And we had to compress that down because there wouldn't have been enough time to transfer everything in uncompressed anyway. And on the other end, it goes over the stream. So it wasn't, I think it was noticeable if it is a little bit pre-compressed.
I think I remember somebody saying our Atari entry was compressed. I don't remember, but I think, but yeah, people will always see. But then again,
that could also be just a stream compression from Twitch.
Yeah, we do our best. We do our best. Like it's in the end, it's also like the best you could do. Indeed, with that amount of 50 gigs per entry.
Yeah, that's a bit too much. I mean, maybe in a couple of years if we get higher speeds, but still, I don't know.
But that's definitely a challenge. Yeah, definitely a challenge having that data get to the right person on time. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think this also highlights the biggest problem with online demo parties is that you cannot experience the entry in its full glory, uncompressed, mm-hmm. because there's always some kind of compression. Some effects will be blurred. And we had that last year, and all the demo parties that went online last year and this year had this as well. That's probably something that is diminishing to the experience, obviously. But I still think it's better than having no events at all.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully this will be fixed by enhanced technology in the next couple of years, better streaming codecs and more bandwidth to stream in 4K or something, or in a 60 FPS. I don't know. Yeah, there are things coming.
So any more, like, we were recording this a bit earlier, but any more news about the Online Revision 2021 that we might want to hear, that you might want to scoop us with?
Yeah, I talked before about how we were going to stretch out the timetable a bit, so we have a bit more breathing, little bit more breathing room. And we will accomplish that by having the seminars on a separate stream, a seminar track, which is a bit sad, because I liked that everything was one continuous stream last year.
Yeah.
But these things were just choking us in terms of breathing room. There was totally no time to relax. And
yeah,
the seminars will be on a separate stream. We try to not let them collide with too many important compos.
Mm-hmm.
And we also thinking about having the seminars as video on demand right away. But what was really awesome last year was that the seminars, the speakers, even though their presentation was pre-recorded, they were still on the Twitch chat. They could react to people's questions in the chat.
Yeah.
And we want to keep that. And that is really great. But yeah, that is one of the ideas and one of the things we're changing to make, hopefully, everything a bit more enjoyable.
A bit more breathing room. I think that's because I remember the weekend being very busy. I felt like I was at home, but I wasn't. I wasn't revisioned for the whole weekend.
Yeah. Which was the idea.
But I didn't have to be in the bus for 8 hours going home. And that was great. That was one of the pros, I will say. I was at home. I could just sleep in my own bed.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't have to sleep on the uncomfortable couch in the Auger area. Yeah.
It only happened like 4 times, maybe 5.
Maybe 5. Yeah.
A very important question for me, actually, only for myself. Will there be a wristband?
Yes.
Because I wear them still. Yeah, I'm even wearing the one right now from this year that I got in the post in my package, because I need one.
We were actually just discussing this last week because we were like, do we really need a wristband? And then, but the conclusion was like, okay, if somebody really went to all revisions, they want to have all wristbands, even though the party wasn't physical.
Yes.
And yeah, we're going to do a wristband and we're going to send it to you with a t-shirt order, just as we did last year.
Awesome. Because yeah, no, I'm wearing about 5 Evoke wristbands and about 3 from Revision, and
that's
so I need one. Yeah, no, it's my wrist is very stinky. The oldest wristband on here is from 2011. So yes, 10 years ago.
One question that I still have is: did you notice that you reached out to completely new audiences, that that you got approached by people like, what is the demo scene like, or who have not been aware of the demo scene before it was online now?
I got a couple of emails and calls from other, let's say, computer focused events. I think there was a GamesCon representative who asked me if we are able to help out with what they're planning, but we didn't have the time or the energy to do that. But there were a couple of people who noticed Revision being online or what we represent. And as for new audiences, I might not be the right person to ask this, because I was during the event. I remember that Twitch chat was full of people like, oh, what is this? What is this cool stuff? What is this ugly stuff? But I didn't have time to interact with those people. We might need to ask our moderators if they got something there. But I know the Discord was full, the voice chat was full, the chat was full. And just when I was working on the website yesterday, I noticed at the 2020 page we had 1,600 people registered on the website.
Nice.
That is obviously a voluntary registration, but during the physical parties, we always had between 600 and 800. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. There's not many fakes in there. So actual people, I think seniors who never been able to go to Revision, like the real one, looked at this opportunity and like, okay, I can register now on the website and I can take part in the Twitch chat and
that's awesome.
And the compos, and that was really a morale booster to see that there's still room for improvement.
And with the 3D artist compo, you're probably going even beyond that, right? Because it's probably going to address the gaming or modding communities or other artists, visual effects, whatever.
That would be great. I'm pretty sure that this won't happen this year, but once we had it once and it works and we have good results there, and good quality releases, people hopefully will notice that there is another a part of the demo scene where you can contribute and participate without being a coder or musician or a person who brings everything together.
Right. That's great. Great idea.
About the hosting, I want to talk, because it was the first time hosting a demo party, which I really enjoyed because I didn't have to host. And not that I don't like hosting, but I've been doing it for so long. And I will say that you and Dojo was a really good job of actually every more having that like link up between everything.
Thank you very much.
So is there going to be the same this year? Is there going to be a similar setup, or do you want to keep that a secret?
No, it's not a secret. We will basically do the exact same if Dojo is allowed to come here, which we don't know yet. Right now in our state in Germany, we have curfew and lockdowns. So there's right now, he would not be allowed to stay here for until, I think he can be here until 8 in the evening, and then he has to go home.
Oh yeah, that's not going
to work. That would work. So hopefully the restriction will be softened down a bit, so he can be here for the whole weekend. And yeah, basically we had a lot of fun doing this last year. We were so happy that there wasn't just one host.
Yeah.
Because the dynamic is very important, especially if you're sitting in front of a camera with three lights shining in your face and not having any reaction from a possible audience. It is very difficult. So that was very, very welcome that we'll both be able to do that together. And I'm looking very, very much forward to the same thing. We might have some silly things again.
Yeah, that worked. I say the wigs, the dog. There needs to be way more dog. Like that's...
Way more dog. Oh, actually, our neighbor, they have an Irish wolfhound. And it's like, I would say it's about a meter high, shoulder high. So maybe we can get that dog here.
Excellent. More dogs.
But on the other hand, I think one swish of the tail and all of our video equipment and the thing will fall down, but might be hilarious.
Whereas the wig now was very funny. And I think, no, that worked really well of having tying the whole party together. So yeah. And also for me, it was very chill because I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Except for the Shader Showdown. But that was also fun because it was from my own home.
Oh, yeah.
One quick question. What do you think of the Sofa World initiative?
Oh, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. That was one of the best things to happen last year. And I think there's one of the things that helped the demo scene prevail in times of online parties as well. I remember I got an email about 3 weeks before revision, and I was told like, oh, there's some project going on, but I didn't have time to pay attention to that. And during the party, Dojo was suddenly like in this 3D environment. And I was like, that's the evac. He's like, yeah, this Sofa World. Oh, this is Sofa World. Why are you pissing on that guy's head? And it's like, it's just what you do at Sofa World. And I was like, okay, fine. Sounds great.
Because Pooh Brain made it. So of course, piss a puke on everything.
Yeah.
But do you think they did a good job of recreating the Ewok?
I think they did a fantastic job. And I hope they will. They are still working on it so we can have a Sofa World 2.0 or 1.5 this year at Revision. That would be awesome.
I cannot imagine they won't do it, to be honest. It was such an important part of it that,
yeah.
And they're very driven. Very driven they are.
For weird reasons, but it's a fantastic project, and I hope that this will continue.
Thank you so much for being in. Indeed, some final words. And when can you tell us when the site is going to go up and if there will be an invite? Can you spoil some?
Yeah, there will be an invitation. That might take some time because it's a very special kind of invitation that we're doing this year. I'm not going to spoil it, though. But it's something that has not been done, in my opinion. It will be a very untraditional invite. But hopefully the result will be great.
We're going to see a TV ad before the news at night or something.
There will be, yeah. I'm looking forward to this now. This is very good to end on a cliffhanger. So yeah, thank you so much for your time.
And for having me.
A bit more in-depth chat about Revision and Revision Online. Looking forward to going to Revision Online 2021. The last moments are for you, Defox. Give us the URL of the party. Where can we go to sign up? And anything else you want to add?
Yeah, you can sign up for Revision at 2021.revision-party.net. And I hope to see you all on the Twitch chat, on Discord, and whatever channel you might use to join us on our glorious 4-day stream. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful to have you.
It was great. Thank you.
So that was the interview with Defox. Very insightful.
Yes, it really turned out quite interesting, hasn't it? I mean, I've been part of the organizing team from the beginning, but not the last few years. And it is always good to hear how he, as a main organizer, actually, bothers with things. Because, I mean, it's not one thing to think of when organizing a demo party.
No, it's a lot. And he's also just a human. He's also just a person. behind that facade of an angry main organizer.
Yeah, and the stories behind it is always interesting to hear the like a view behind the organization of such an event. I mean, it's a real lot of work, and even just the online edition,
just an online edition, as you can hear how much work. So absolutely looking forward to revision. So absolutely thank you, DFox, for your time and for a fantastic interview. It was great to have you. Maybe we'll talk about revision in the future, and we'll definitely see each other at a revision in real life at one point. I can't wait for that. But for now, we're still at home and we're wrapping up the show. I say thank you to my co-hosts, Axel and Ziphoid. Thank you to Gaga and Gloom. I'm doing this a bit off track, and then I'll go like, for if you have any questions for us, if you have anything you want us to touch on or to discuss or have a shout out, hit us at zineradioshow@scene.org or contact us on the Zine Radio Show Discord. There will be a link in the podcast you can click on, I think. If not, then just cut this out, Gloom. I would again like to thank everybody. Thank you for listening to us. See us again next month with a new show, where again we have Rimina on the show to talk about the demo scene and the ethics, but in a fun way. So absolutely join us. It's going to be very insightful. This show was hosted by Oki, Axel, and Ziphoid, and was produced, mixed, and edited by Gloom and Gargai. They also brought us sandwiches, candy, and coffee, which is very lovely. Thank you. Special thanks to Scene.org, ScenesAt, and Bitfellas. Send your questions and feedback to ZineRadioShow@scene.org. Come to our Discord. If you like this show, please share it with your friends and give us a positive rating as well. You can find the Zine Radio Show on ScenesAt, as well as Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Det får duga.